This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
So we'll just put Judith on the phone. Judith, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am. Is that you, David?
It is. Yes, it's David and Neil. So, hello.
David and Neil. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Lovely to speak with you.
Likewise. Hey, Judith, we always like to start off with your background. You know, like, how did it all start for you? What is your background?
Well, my background is I studied English Literature and Fine Arts Honours at Melbourne University and then Education at Oxford. After a few years of teaching, I applied for a job at the NGV as circulations officer, and that was in 1977.
Oh, gosh.
So, is fine arts something you've always been interested in?
Yes, well, art has always been of interest to me, and when I was in grade 4 or 5 at school, I entered a painting in the Heidelberg Art Show, and it represented... 3 Aboriginal men, all painted up, standing on a cliff, and they were pointing the bone. And I won first prize in that competition. And there must have been something that interested me about Indigenous people, First Nations people. I don't know. But art has always been, the most exciting thing for me, as well as poetry, drama, literature, all of those things. I think the arts are what sort of lifts us and what gives us joy.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I did want to study painting at RMIT, but my father, who'd grown up in the Depression, thought that was not such a good idea and sent me off to the university. I was in at RMIT to study painting, but I've sort of had the best of both worlds because I've worked with art. But it's sort of interesting because the first encounter with Indigenous art really it blew my mind. I was working on travelling exhibitions to go to Country Victoria, and there was an Aboriginal art gallery just around the corner near where I live, Aboriginal Pacific Gallery, East Ivanhoe, and I went round there and fell in love with the bark paintings that I saw there, as well as the works from the Pacific. And Aboriginal Oceanic Art was decorative art was a show that I did for Country Victoria. But I started working on Aboriginal Australia, which was a big touring exhibition at the NGV, organised through the Aboriginal Arts Board of the Australia Council. And that was a great introduction, 3 years of sort of looking at works in museum collections and so on. And once you sort of start looking at this art, because I'd studied modernism, and that was what really inspired Picasso, the surrealists. I mean, when they saw the Pacific sculptures, the African sculptures, and this work that was incredible, so directly drawn, so gestural, also the artists are sort of part of the land they're representing, the stories that the works communicated, and also what First Nations people had endured.
Yeah.
Because I encountered what had happened in Mesoamerica and how the Mexica had been just wiped out by the Spaniards,
in
1519. Yep. Yep. It's just shocking. And what had occurred all over, and particularly what had occurred in Australia. And once you sort of start looking at and listening to the artists, it sort of strikes me as, what I have encountered, what I've witnessed over that time, 43 years at the gallery, we've seen a whole modern art movement develop.
Yep.
And also come to the fore.
Yeah, but the thing is that, and obviously you've been heavily involved in this, the NGV's, has a huge Indigenous collection, doesn't it?
Well, yes, we didn't have one when I started.
I bet you didn't, yes.
We were very Eurocentric, and even Australian art didn't get much of a look in
sure.
either. So it's been a sort of exciting time to sort of fight for you know, to fight for recognition of Indigenous art, because it wasn't part of the art history course I studied.
Yep.
We didn't even do Australian art.
Yeah.
It was all Europe.
Yep. Yeah,
European
exactly.
art.
Yep.
And we didn't even get up to the 20th century. So the point is that, you know, it was very different in those days.
Yep.
Very, very different. You know, and Australian literature wasn't even part of English literature. English literature was English literature. We at least did, you know, European literature, but, you know, Russian novels and French and so on. But, yeah, there was something really missing, and I just felt it needed to be on the map.
Yep.
Both at the gallery and also, you know, part of our understanding, our consciousness, because the work that is made is not transplanted from anywhere else. It's the oldest living visual culture in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, it's sort of part of Australia.
Yeah. And
it's great art.
Yeah. And also the fact is, you were there well and truly before he arrived, because Tony Elwood's only been there, what, 8 or 9 years or something.
Yeah,
but he's got a real background in Indigenous art, hasn't he?
Yes, well, he was working up in the up at Warrangari Arts in Kununurra in the Kimberley.
Yep.
And so he was involved in an exhibition, Images of Power Aboriginal Art of the Kimberley. I went up there to visit Warraman, and I visited him at Kununurra. So he was working there as a art advisor, manager of Kununurra, of Warrangari Arts. And, of course, he was working with artists such as Rover Thomas, Queenie McKenzie. Rusty Peters was working there doing the stretching. It was a very exciting time, and the exhibition was in 1993. Later on, he came down and began working at the gallery.
Yeah.
Initially, he worked two days a week in Indigenous art, which was exciting. So it's sort of great to be there now. No, he's still got the love and the interest, but of course he's got a love of art of all kinds.
Absolutely. Now tell us in these strange times, tell us about these video series and marking time. What's going on at the NGV?
Well, of course we're closed.
Yes.
And we will be closed until the end of June, I understand.
Yep.
And Marking Time was an exhibition that I curated, and it closed in late March. The exciting thing with Marking Time was that I was looking at the first art that was made in Australia. The graffiti on rocks, you know, figurative drawings, abstract signs, text, and so on, incised and painted on the rock faces, in intellectual circles. This has been termed the earliest graffiti in human existence. But what sparked my interest really was that the gallery was organising a sensational exhibition of Keith Haring and Basquiat.
Yep.
And I thought, well, how exciting it is to see how Indigenous artists have looked at these earliest forms of mark making. We're thinking of dating back to 60,000 years or even longer. The markings on rocks at in the Arnhem Land escarpment at Kakadu, Wangina, painted on the rock faces of the northwestern central Kimberley, and so on. And how from 1913 onwards, Baldwin Spencer made the first commission of artists in Western Arnhem Land to paint images similar to what he saw on the rock and on the wet season bark shelters onto individual sheets of bark. This bark painting tradition, apart from wet season shelters, is something new, something radical.
Yeah.
And not only that, artists in Indigenous Australia have found ways of transforming what is ancestral to them, what belongs to them, what they see on the rock, on the body, on the ground, on carved trees and so on, into new media. And we've seen that in Western Desert, for example, at Papunya in 1971 to 72. The artists there, the senior men, it was revolutionary that they translated the designs from the body and the ground and from on sacred objects and onto small sheets of composition board, and hence the Western Desert Art Movement was and born and developed.
Yep. And so can we see it now? Is there, there's a video series?
Yes. Yep. Yes, you can look on the NGV channel and you can have a walk, a virtual walkthrough of the exhibition. You'll also see, you know, the work of artists such as the Gamilaroi artist Rico Rennie, who grew up in Footscray in a suburb of Melbourne. And he's translated the diamond designs incised onto dendroglyphs, carved trees. He's translated those into neon and also into painted work.
Yeah. So it sounds,
they're a symbol, a continuing symbol of his identity.
It sounds amazing. Unfortunately, we're running out of time.
Yes,
and so it's all there on the NGV's website. If you go onto the website, you'll be able to check it, all of this out.
Yes, and there's plenty more for you to discover.
Right.
There are great videos, there's great opportunities, activity sheets, encounters with artists, and there's lots of stories about the NGV collection. And the great thing is, it'd be great if the exhibition were open, but lots of people can't get into the NGV.
Yep.
So this year, this gives them access, Judith. So if they just go to the NGV website, they should be able to get there are links to all of those
that's
options.
That's right. Yeah,
all right.
You just go onto the NGV channel.
Right.
Whenever you need it.
Right.
That sounds great.
Judith Rhind, thank you so much. And just go and check out the ngv.gov.au. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Judith.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you both.
Thank you very much. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Bye-bye.
An important message from the Victorian government about coronavirus. To help us make informed decisions about restrictions and slow the spread of coronavirus.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.